This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Kate Delaney. I tell you, it's kind of a mixed bag when it comes to this holiday. I love Thanksgiving, and I hope you're spending it with people that you love and care about, too, as well. But I was just reading something. I might have come across it in the USA Today. So do you want the bad news about Thanksgiving dinner? Do we care? I mean, look, you know you're going to load up your plate. You know you're going to eat more turkey the next day, if you eat turkey. Well, I was just reading their comparison as to what it was like at Thanksgiving Day meal as to how many calories it is. So let's just say you have mashed potatoes, gravy, dinner rolls, vegetables, which would be good. Turkey, maybe you don't do turkey, maybe you do ham, maybe you do something else. You're watching football, you're watching World Cup, so you're sitting around a lot, and then you're probably dipping into appetizers, cheese, crackers, chips, deviled eggs, drinks, you know, whatever. And then there's the pie, pecan pie, not low in calories, pumpkin pie, not low in calories. So I was looking this up, and USA Today did a fun little feature on it, but I've got this from other sources too. The typical American consumes 3,150 calories and 159 grams of fat. I could barely get that out. This is, by the way, according to the Calorie Control Council, the CCC. Did you know we had a Calorie Control Council? Yes, there is one. So for normal days, the intake is tops out for most people at 2,200 or maybe even 2,800, which actually is not that low. But for Thanksgiving, they compared it to what I read. This was the extra part. It would be the equivalent of 5 to 8 Big Macs. So it means you are eating on Thanksgiving, my friends, maybe up to 8 Big Macs. Wow. I mean, here's the thing. Can we for once enjoy our meal, though, and not have to calorie count? I get it. I mean, especially me, I totally get it. I have the Apple Watch. I'm, like, looking at every step I take. Every day I'm getting over 10,000 steps. You all do your own things. You know it, right? You're trying to do it. So, I mean, here's the thing. I guess just try to be careful before the Thanksgiving meal. If you want to preserve a few calories, maybe you don't chow down something big at lunch or eat later in the day. It depends on when you do your Thanksgiving. That's why kind of an early-ish Thanksgiving is sometimes good, because then you're not tempted to do whatever you would normally do. But anyway, I just thought I would be the person to fill you in on that fun fact. I just am kind of wrapping my mind around 8 Big Macs, or, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8. Wow. This story is incredibly sad, but I feel compelled to tell you about it because, unfortunately, we're having too many of these shootings. I mean, can you not go shopping? Can you not go to church? Can you not go to school? Can we not be in our own houses without fear of this? And unfortunately, this time it was a Walmart manager who freaked out. He just started shooting and he opened fire in a break room. He killed 6 people in Chesapeake, Virginia. And there was a 911 call. So luckily, again, great job by the first responders. They scrambled. They got there as fast as they could. They found people wounded or hiding in the store. You had rescue and tactical teams that swept through the store as fast as possible. They did some life-saving measures. That's good. So at least 6 survivors were transported to local hospitals. 1 was in critical condition. And, you know, it's like what the city manager, Chris Price, said. He said, you hope a day like this never comes. But we live in a world now where you train for it. They practice, they talk about it, they learn the lessons so that they can respond quickly and do what they have to do. So, of course, the shooter died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound, and the handgun was recovered at the scene. And he was carrying multiple magazines. The bodies of 2 victims and the shooter were found in the break room, like I said, where he opened fire. And, you know, there was 1 in front of the store, 3 others were transported to the hospital. They were part of the crew that was transported, and they didn't make it. And the gunman was this 31-year-old Andre Bing, who was a team leader who worked for Walmart since 2010. And they searched his house. They were trying to, again, it's the question mark. Why? Why? What is the motive for this? It was really, really scary to listen to somebody this morning on GMA say that, you know, the workers were in the store's break room at the start of a shift. When that happened, he didn't say a word and he just started firing. He just started shooting throughout the whole break room. So multiple people just dumped to the floor looking for cover, doing whatever they could. And, you know, this employee who was on the show said, look, I just started 2 months ago. And he had worked with the guy the night before. And I guess he had a history of writing up employees because he was a leader. He had a history of writing up employees for no reason, but they didn't talk about negative encounters with him. So this is really, really, really tough. And of course, you have people that issue statements like the Virginia governor, Youngkin. What's he going to say? Support and sympathy. But we're saying that too much. I mean, it is. It's just ridiculous. You know how I feel about this, and we talk about it all the time on the show. I mean, you know, who knew that was going to happen? The answer is nobody did. Can they find any kind of a motive for it? You know, who knows if they'll be able to come across that or not. It doesn't do much, though, for those, you know, for those families that find themselves in that awful, awful situation where they're left without somebody that they thought they were going to spend maybe a Thanksgiving meal with and the holidays with, and they're asking that same question, why? This year, we talked about inflation probably ad nauseum, but trying to understand it, trying to see what could work that would pull it down. We know that there's the yin and yang of the Federal Reserve trying to bring it down by aggressively raising interest rates, even if it scares us and pushes the economy closer to a recession. And that's the scary part to me, is that. So prices are still soaring. It's hard for many people to get by. We know that we're hovering around 40-year high because of especially the food prices, housing, same thing, and utilities, same thing. The impact on people's wages, what they make, and all that wrapped in between. So now when you look at inflation and you look at the causes of inflation and you look at 2023 and what's on the list, what do you hope happens in 2023? I hope we're not saying that recession word. We don't want to deal with recession. And now we're looking at gas prices again, that there's going to be a new high for a nationwide average that could be in some places already up to $5 for a gallon of gas. And that is very crippling to most people. It's peaking in July of 2008. Gas prices peaked at $4.11, but that would be equivalent to about $5.40 today. So anything when you hit five, I think even when you really get over four, that's when it gets even tougher for people to say, yeah, we can't soak this up right now, right? All right, and what is the good news? Well, the good news was, or is, of course, that it's Thanksgiving, and hopefully you're getting a chance to spend it with people that you care about, like I said at the top of this. But I mentioned this before a couple of shows ago about you probably have some streaming services, right? And there's great Christmas movies on. Miracle on 34th Street. I even like the old version, 1947, but the 1994 version is good. I cannot resist Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer always. And Home Alone, come on, give me some Home Alone anytime. You may have a different list, but it's out there, trust me. So happy holidays, everybody.
Stock market has you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point. vantage point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word demo, you agree to the terms available at vantagepointsoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology or pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text money to 813-813.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at DrinkSuperTea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at DrinkSuperTea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Hometown Kid, City Kid, a true story of a basketball team amidst demographic change. Jim Dimmock Jr. joins us, and his story is one that some people might even know. For those who don't, we're going to enlighten you as to what it was like and what he went through. Jim, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Kate. I'm glad to be here.
What was it that finally made you decide, I'm going to tell the story, I'm going to write this story?
Well, I was hired as the boys basketball coach in Richfield, Minnesota in 2001. I was the coach there for 9 years. The school district was going through rapid demographic change. My basketball team was 80% white kids who lived in homes. They were sons of homeowners in Richfield my first year. My last year, the basketball team was 80% black kids. And as I went through these 9 years and I shared what was going on with my inner circle of friends and my family, everyone said, you've got to write a book, Jim. This is about a lot more than just basketball. You need to write a book. So that's how it got started.
And what was it like when the demographics changed? What did you deal with? What was it like for the team? What was it like as far as administrative pressures, I guess, and parents?
Well, first of all, I can say that the kids got along great. Getting the parents together was a whole different issue. And there were many white parents in Richfield who welcomed the diversity, welcomed the competition, welcomed these African-American kids in. But there was a small group of people that did not like that change. And the book actually has five different storylines that are all parallel storylines that unfold over these 9 years, and they are a collection of separate incidents that kind of tell this story. And the first storyline is the high school boys basketball team, and we went to the state tournament, first state tournament trip in 31 years. We had packed gyms on Friday nights. It was really fun. The second storyline is about the youth program, the kids in grades 1 through 8 that were playing basketball, and how their parents reacted to the fact that my first year, the youth program was 95% white kids, and after 2 years, it was 50-50. And the third storyline is the community, and right from the get-go, there was a small group of citizens. They called themselves the concerned citizens. They did not have kids on the team, and they tried to get me fired. In my second year, after my fourth year, and after my ninth year, they were successful with a brand new administration. And the fourth storyline is open enrollment. And in Richfield at this time, the last 3 or 4 years I was there, about 10% of the student body of high school age students were open enrolling out of Richfield to a neighboring, more affluent white high school. And 10% of the high school students in Richfield were open enrolling in from South Minneapolis, and they were almost all African American kids. So you had 1/10 of the high school age students open enrolling out and 1/10 open enrolling in. And that was a hot button issue. And when kids from Minneapolis displaced Richfield kids, a lot of people didn't like that. And my detractors, I'm sure, would argue that my firing had nothing to do with race. It was about open enrollment. And it was about me recruiting kids into the community that were not Richfield kids. However, if you look at the percentage of open enrollment kids in the basketball program, that never changed over 9 years. It went from a white team of Richfield kids to a black team of Richfield kids. And the fifth storyline is about coaches being fired. And in Minnesota, there was a bill passed in 2007, whereas a high school coach, if he or she gets fired, he or she can request a hearing in front of the school board and state their case why they should be reinstated. And I exercised this right, and I listed the positive attributes of the program, both academically and athletically. And then I showed the school board with charts and definitions and pie graphs that if we ran the program the way the complainers wanted us to run it, it would be a textbook case of systemic racism, backed up with an argument of tokenism. And so it's those five storylines, and they all kind of intertwine and tell the story of how this inner ring, tight-knit suburb reacted to this. And there was a lot of positives, but there were some negatives.
How tough was it for you, and obviously because you were passionate, you liked coaching the team, the kids got along, the kids were easy, it had to be really tough on you to constantly battle these opinions of people and what they were doing, and then ultimately getting fired had to be rough on you. How did you bounce out of that?
Well, what happens is, Kate, every year that you go through this and people come at you and attack you, your skin gets thicker. And it wasn't easy. It definitely wasn't easy. It was tougher on my wife and my father than it was on me. But, I mean, every time something happened, my skin was thicker. And I came to realize early on that these people were going to try to get me fired for any possible reason they could think of. So I had to be perfect in all of my behavior. And that just became like a sixth sense. You were always aware that somebody was trying to, you know, watch you make a mistake somehow and then tell everybody and then spread the word and add up more evidence as to why I should be fired. Mm. And in the end, when I was fired, it was not embarrassing at all. Everybody was surprised. I think, I mean, a lot of Richfield people came up to me and told me, you know, we didn't want you fired. We had no idea. We had no idea this was coming. You did a great job. Thanks so much. So I got a lot of positive feedback from people in Richfield throughout the entire process.
What do you hope people who are listening to this conversation across the U.S., what do you hope they take away from your book, this conversation, and getting your book, Hometown Kid, City Kid, A True Story of a Basketball Team Amidst Demographic Change?
Well, You know, if I could back up a little bit, I also realized that in order to give the documentary of what happened in my 9 years there a platform, I had to write a short history of the suburb and a short history of the high school athletic program. So, you know, and I've had people tell me that have read the book, well, it tells the story of the inner ring suburbs of Minneapolis. It tells how those suburbs have changed demographically. And I would like the book to raise questions about how we as northern United States white people react to this when kids of color move into our school district. And, you know, it forces us to look ourselves in the eye and ask ourselves, now, are we being welcoming or are we being old-fashioned and racist about this? And one of my friends said, when you add up all the separate incidents, you have to ask the question, was race an issue? And I know that the answer to that question is going to be divided. There'll be some people that would say race is not an issue here at all. It wasn't an issue. And other people have told me, well, race was definitely an issue. So there's two different opinions on this situation that I went through. And when I went through this, when they were trying to fire me two times, it was a big deal in Minnesota. It made the major newspapers. It was on talk show radio. And there was a big public debate statewide about me and about open enrollment. But they didn't really talk about demographic change at all. That was kind of swept under the carpet. And the book shows that that was part of this whole controversy.
Wow. What do your family and friends think now that, yes, you did it, you did the book?
Oh, I've had a lot of positive feedback. In fact, I was over at Richfield for a parade 3 weeks ago, and a woman came up to me and came running up to me. Oh, I got your book. I read the book. I loved it. I'm telling all my friends to read it. I had a retired gentleman in his 80s who played sports for Richfield back in the 1960s when they were a statewide power, and he came up to me and he said, Jim, I read your book. It's awesome. It tells the good and the bad about Richfield, and we needed to hear that. So there's been a lot of positive comments from Richfield people, which has really given me encouragement.
Well, good luck with the book. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Jim Dimmock Jr., Hometown Kid, The City Kid, A True Story of a Basketball Team Amidst Demographic Change. All the things that he talked about, the five storylines, all of that is wrapped into this. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker or whether you're a school teacher or whether you're a scientist or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to gcntaxcut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. gcntaxcut.com, gcntaxcut.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Maruso reporting. North Korea on Thursday denounced Seoul's push to impose additional sanctions on Pyongyang after its missile launches, calling South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol and his administration idiots. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un's powerful sister, Kim Yo-jong, made the remarks in a statement carried by state media KCNA, warning sanctions and pressure would add to the North's hostility and anger. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's government learned a lesson when former U.S. President Donald Trump forced a renegotiation of the North American Trade Pact 5 years ago. The lesson? Never underestimate U.S. protectionism. Taking that lesson to heart has prompted Canada to mirror U.S. strategy in the Pacific and tout itself as an alternative to China for vital clean technology materials in the hope that becoming a long-term strategic partner of the United States, it'll insulate it from protectionist impulses in the future. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
California for a conversation with Melissa Arnold. She's written a book called Color of Pain, and it's an interesting story. We had a great off-air conversation about what this book's about, where she grew up, and what the novel's about. We'll take you to places near and far. So, Melissa, thanks for coming on.
Sure. My pleasure.
Tell us about your youth growing up and what led to this book.
Well, I was born in Belize, Central America. It's the only English-speaking country in Central America. And pretty much was raised sort of a blend of, I guess, West Indian and colonial British. And so at a very early age, my mom left home. And at first she was just working, you know, locally in other districts in the country, but at some point she was actually in the United States. And she would come back maybe, you know, every couple of years. And so we never really had a connection with her. When she left, I was about 4 or 5 years old. My little brother was like 2. And so we were the two that really, you know, suffered the most from that separation. But she would come back, so we knew she was there in our lives, but it was just not the same. So we sort of raised away from her. And I was talking with someone, one of my friends, and we have a shared experience in that a lot of our parents left home to find a better life, but that meant, you know, the sacrifice of not being able to raise their children. And then the reconnection later on is not as sweet or as successful as we all expect it to be. And so I was talking to my friend, whose name is Alexander Casanova. That's the name that's on the book that says Story By. But yeah, he dropped out of the project a very long time ago. Anyway, so what we were talking about was how life was when we were growing up. Then there was the experience that he had of his mom marrying a British soldier and him living in England for 10 years, and then his return to Belize. So the part before he goes to England is my story, and when he returns from England is my story. But the part in between is supposed to be his story, but I had to create a lot of it because, again, he was not around. So we were talking about the irony of, you know, that separation, and then we come here, and it's very difficult to reconnect. So my mom saw us as these little children that she would come and visit every so often. We saw her as this stranger that would pop in, disrupt our lives in a good way, and then leave. So there was never any long-term anything, because the longest that she would stay when she would visit would be maybe 3 weeks to a month, if that long. And so it was very sporadic. And so the plan when she got herself together and decided that she wanted us to join her, we sort of met it with mixed feelings. I was very hopeful because, again, being one of the youngest of six siblings, myself and six siblings, I was always hopeful of this reconnection. So I think myself and my younger brother, he was 14, so he blended and reconnected much better. But we all had a problem when we reconnected with my mom because of this disconnect and what we expected. So that's what my book is about, is just sort of talking about how parents make decisions for you, and they say it's out of love, but a lot of times it's selfishly motivated. She had to come and find a life, but at the same time, we still think that maybe she could have come home more often. She could have tried to bring us when we were younger. I mean, there's a lot of things wrong with the whole equation. We can't second guess because it was not our life to live, but the reconnection sometimes is what shows up, what shows the original plan and the flaws of that original plan. And that's what we have to deal with, because most of us don't know our parents, and we're coming into this, and it's been very disappointing. One sister moved out within 5 months of getting here. I moved out as a result of marriage, very young, probably because I wanted to get out too. And we all left within a very short time, which really hurt my mom, because she was like, okay, I did all this sacrificing, and now you guys connect, and now you're gone. Like, was it worth it? And we're asking her, was it worth it? You know, so it's been frustrating, and that's what I was trying to write about, was that, and you're always constantly trying to please, because you're grateful for that sacrifice that they made. However, you don't know how to please them. The boy in the book is always trying to please his mom. She's very selfishly motivated. He actually connects with his stepfather, which turns out to be a blessing for him. But there's this love-hate relationship on his part towards his mom. And towards him, she's more like a hate, like, you're in my way, I wish you weren't here kind of thing. So it's very sad, and has a lot of sad undertones, which is the reflection of how we feel. It's not expressed in the same way from my mom or our moms, but sometimes we feel like we're in the way, that we should have never connected and just continued to do that long distance thing, and things might have worked out better.
Wow, it's so interesting that when you and I were talking, it's like you said, there are people that come here from all over the place, Belize and many, many other countries, and they're experiencing the same thing. So there is a lot of people that have that sort of hole in their heart that they're dealing with, right?
Right, right. And we have that emotion towards each other, even though we're of different cultures or whatever, because that's the thing that we have in common. And we all express it in different ways. I see a lot of, early, I guess, I would say overly provocative sexual behavior and just things like that. Sometimes you're trying to have your parent notice you. Sometimes you're trying to spite them because they expect you to be perfect. And, oh, look, my kids are here, and this is what's going to happen. And then you disappoint them because you're not doing anything that they boasted or sort of expected their friends to see in you. So, again, it's just kind of toxic. And I got a lot of it resolved when I was writing the book, and I told my mom that I was writing the book, and I sat her down and I explained why I was doing it, and explained that it was not a diss against her. That didn't have any problems with anything that she did. That was her truth. But I wanted her to be aware because she was, you know, I read excerpts and some of the stuff that's very indigenous and cultural. I interviewed her for those, so, you know, I needed her help. But I on the parts that were kind of dark about the whole pain thing, I wanted her to be aware it was not personal. And so she kind of accepted it. But the good thing was that during that time that I was writing the book, she was living with me the last 2 years of her life. And so we talked a lot about some of the stuff that I was feeling, and she would sit and cry, and she's like, well, but I took care of you guys. Every time you needed something, I was sending it. And, you know, to go to, like, high school in Belize, it's not free. So she had to send tuition, money for uniforms, you know, all of that kind of stuff. I mean, both myself and one of my sisters got scholarships, so we had, you know, full ride of everything. But she had seven children to take care of, and she had to do what she had to do. So her expression of love would be to send the money so that we could get what we needed to get. But we were very close to her younger sister, who was there sort of like supervising and kind of raising us. And she was very resentful of that sister. And once we reconnected with my mom, she didn't want us having anything to do with her sister anymore. She's like, okay, I'm here now. Why do you guys even need to deal with her? I'm tired of her saying that the only thing she didn't do was give birth to you guys. She has her own kids. You know, it was even that part was crazy.
Wow. So with a couple of minutes left, and you can get The Color of Pain on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever good books are sold, what do you hope people take away from reading your story?
That, you know how sometimes some people are sort of xenophobes in a way, like you don't like foreigners or whatever, and
yeah,
they don't understand that when we come here, we're also struggling. We're struggling to assimilate. We're struggling to be accepted. For my part and my family, we didn't have the usual thing of having to learn a new language or any of that. So, you know, that was off the table. But it's still very difficult. And you have to understand that people are motivated by different things to come to this country. We did not necessarily want to come because my mom threatened my sister, oh, I'll just take your green card and send you back. My sister said, I was already working when you brought me here. I had a life. Take the green card. You know, that's the one who moved out after 5 months. But it's just, people need to understand that when parents, I guess, or when people make certain choices based off of what they think is love, it sort of backfires sometimes, and it's very difficult for everyone that's involved in that. And so we have to try to, I guess, reach out, but do it out of love and not expectation of anything. A lot of the foreign parents, they tell us, okay, you can't do anything when you come here until you've paid us back for bringing us here. You know, we pay for your plane ticket, we pay for your immigration papers, all of this kind of stuff. And there's an expectation that you're going to take care of them. So you come, you get married, you move out or whatever, that's a big strike. So I'm just saying, when you do something for out of love, especially for your family, don't expect anything back. Just do it out of love with no expectations. If you get something, then that's a blessing, and that's a plus.
Oh, perfect place to end that. It's a plus. The Color of Pain, Melissa Arnold, thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life. I'm Kate Delaney.
I have them.
Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, Kate Delaney Radio. BoostYourStrengthRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Joins us. He's written a book called Faith Under Communism. We had a fascinating conversation off the air about how he grew up, what he had to deal with, and how tough it was to emigrate to the United States, and what changed, and what he wants to pass on to people, and what they don't understand about communism. Simon, your book is fascinating, and the things that you dealt with. Let's talk about the village that you grew up in and what it was like.
Well, I grew up in a village where was nothing, just a dirt road, because the communists, they don't want to do nothing, just leave everything like that. They want to force the people to move to the city, not to live in the villages. And was very low life. That's why the people doesn't like it.
But in this remote village, you talk about not even no electricity, right, at one point.
No. No, they bring electricity like in 1965-70, but in our home, they don't let us to connect to the electricity because we was Christian, and the Secret Service said, your house is lighted by Jesus, and you don't need our electricity. And after 10 years, when I put the paper, I said, I want to go to America, and they give in to us electricity.
Wow. So when you said you wanted to leave, they decided they would put it back in the house.
Yes, because that's what I put the discrimination. It's illegal for a Christian to have electricity in the house. We have all connection. We pay everything. It was like $30,000. And the Secret Service said, you're never going to have electricity in your house. Call Jesus to give you some electricity.
Wow.
When I put the paper And they was very mad, and fast they said, okay, you have electricity, you don't have to go in America. I said, thank you, I decide to go in America. And start the trouble and fight and everything. They said, it's easy for us to kill you. You're never going to see America.
Wow, how frightening was that? Because you wanted to get to the U.S., and how scary was it to try to do that and worry about your family and worry about your safety?
Oh, I know. They told us lots of times, we're going to kill you. And I told them, it's not a big deal. I'm not going to be the first one. They kill lots of people. And I told them, I don't change my mind. I want to go to America, and I don't like the communism like that, because they don't let you do nothing. Absolutely, even offense. If you do it, why you do it? How come you have money? Everybody was poor, very poor, and was nothing. We don't have any store in the village, just a small store and a bar. That's it. Was years and years till the revolution. They don't care about people. They care only to take your money, your tax, your things. You have to give eggs to the city, chickens, hogs, everything. Was they come and took it from you.
And you talk about going to school and being, you know, persecuted at school, and then when you get out of school, you work as a locksmith. How much did you make as a locksmith a month?
A month was like $75.
Wow.
And we work Saturday too. You have to work, and you have to work one Sunday a month too. For people from office, they don't pay you. Sometimes they pay, sometimes don't. All the time they took hours. We must have like 200 hours working, and they pay us like 180 all the time, 20 hours. They took it to pay people from the office because they don't have money. And with $75 a month to pay the bus, the train, everything was nothing. Lots of people, they crying, and women crying because they can't pay the electricity in the city. In the village, the people doesn't care, but it was very hard. It was no heat in winter time because they don't have money for heating. The life was going bad and bad and bad, and nobody cares.
Why did you write the book? Tell us why you wrote the book.
When I came to America, in that time came in power in the United States, Ronald Reagan. When he became in power here, the communists slowed down because President Reagan was very wild against communists. And he called the Romanian president to stop killing people and don't mess with me. And he slowed down. And they let me come to America. And they said, you can go to America, Simon. We didn't kill you here, but we can kill you over there if you talk about us. And I came to America. I have 3 kids, 2 boys and 1 girl. They grow up. Now they are with family. I have 9 grandkids. And I explained to them about communist, socialist, how work, and why I emigrate, because it was very hard life. And my son is police officer in Gilbert, Arizona. And he said, Dad, why you don't write a book? Because I like my kids to learn about how is socialism, how you live in socialism. And they insisted to write a book for them. And I did. And now I like everybody to find out the truth about socialism. The socialism doesn't work. Work only for few people who's in power. When I live in communist, the a major in Secret Service said, Simon, it's time for you to be a slave for me. You work and I stay. I don't do nothing. And that's why you are not going to go nowhere, because we need people to work for us. That's the socialism. Some people who's in power have good life, and the rest of them, nothing. Just poor, poor, and they take everything you have from you to control you. And that's why I write the book.
Yeah, and so your family knows and understands it, how other people understand what it was really like. Then when you get to Oregon, you talk about your family and your grandchildren. So thank goodness you pushed, you made that happen, and you've had a good life here in the United States, right?
Yes. I like America. It's a very nice country. It's very clean. I like it's very clean America. If you go in the city, it's clean. The people, they are very educated. Nobody fight with you, nobody yell to you, nobody do nothing to me. Even when I don't speak English, I work, and nobody was mad on me or to say something to me. And communism, they are very rude. Everywhere you go, they talk very rude with you. That's why I like America a lot, and I never gonna think to go out or... It's a nice country.
Well, this is a great gift to your children to know more, and also for other people to understand what it's like to understand what it's like to grow up that way, and to have constantly somebody on your back, and knowing that there's so many risks to growing up and to what happens when you speak out. And the book is called Faith Under Communism. Simon Hulbier, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much, because you take me in the show, and the communists put me in jail 5 times. And even I told them, if I go in jail 20 times, I am not going to quit. That's why I am here in America.
And good for you.
I hope all young people going to read my book, and they're going to learn the truth about socialists. I didn't put anything fake in the book. Everything is original, 100%.
Simon, thank you. You can get the book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Thank you.
Thank you very much to take me on the show.
So fascinating story, Simon saying that he wanted to tell a story and he wasn't worried what would happen. You heard him say he was in jail 5 times and the persecution he went through and how he really, really wanted to get to the United States. It is a fascinating read. And it shows you not to take for granted what we have here in the U.S. So we thank him for joining us.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.